Good evening, one and all. I tell you what, I just got a shock. I looked at the calendar. It's November on Monday. Where did it all go? Another year just whizzed by. I tell you, the older you get, the shorter the time span gets. What do they say? It's like a toilet roll, isn't it? The older a toilet roll gets, the faster it goes. But it always amazes me how, without planning, because, you know, I book these shows and I just put one down after another, that we get these things where shows sort of mix together. Yesterday, we had Jenny Mannion on the show yesterday, and we were talking about the use of love in healing and the healing power of love. Well, today we've got something a little bit similar with my guest today. Now, here in Bristol, where I am in Connecticut, a couple of weeks ago, we had the streets with teal ribbons. My own family, we go into a lot of gold ribbons. What are we talking about? Well, just put it like this. There are over 50 different coloured ribbons for types of cancer. Not a bit from the pink, which most people know, to sort of two-tone, three-tones even. And one thing that everybody has in common with that is how to live with, or how to cope, perhaps that's a wrong word, cope, but how to be there and share with somebody who suffers or is suffering from cancer. Well, my guest today, he's written a great book, I'll tell you, it's a great book, about going through such a thing, and it's a book called Living in Colour, A Love Story in Sickness and in Health. So we'd better find out a bit more about this, because my guest today is the one and only Mike Murphy. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, Barry. I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You'll have to leave that other phone. I'm sorry, Mike.
No,
is it? Okay. No, I get it here. I'm halfway through a show and the house phone goes, or you know, so the wife comes in and says, oh, have you done the washing? You know, is the dog out? Anyway, Mike, you've written this great book. I'll let you explain what inspired you to write this and what you hope to get from it.
Yeah, so the name of the book is Living in Color, and it's a love story. It's a very powerful love story about my late wife, Margot, who we were together for 10 years. When we first met, there was an instant connection, energetic connection, and, you know, now it's been 20 years since we met. And so in hindsight, you know, Plato taught about twin flames that mm-hmm. were one soul cut in half, and we spend many lifetimes looking for that other half. And,
yes.
And so I really believe that Margot was my other half, and that we were meant to be together. But we started a relationship, and just 9 months into dating, I found a stage 3 golf ball-sized tumor in her breast. And she was only 29 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that took us on a journey of, the cancer treatment world. And it was quite brutal. But she fought hard. And 5 years into this, we got married. And then shortly after the cancer, we were trying to have a baby. She never had a child. We were trying to have a baby. And in that, we had to do in vitro fertilization, and in that process, they discovered that the cancer returned and metastasized to her bones and eventually her lungs. And the opening scene of the book, Living in Color, is November 29th, 2010, about 10 years after we first met, and the doctor is telling her, Margot, unfortunately, the cancer spread to the lining of your brain and your cerebral spinal fluid. And if you do nothing, you have 6 weeks to live, and if you treat it, you have 6 months to live. And that's the opening scene in the book.
Right.
But the book focuses on those 6 months with flashbacks, very powerful, seamless flashbacks into our love story. So you get the aspect of our love story, the difficulty that we had coming together as a couple, that we finally made it, then the cancer, and then more cancer, and then those 6 months. And the beautiful thing, the reason I wrote the book, she had been gone about a month. And I really didn't, I was distraught. I was grief and very devastated, right? And I go, but I just witnessed this amazing young woman who was 38 when she passed away
mm-hmm.
for 6 months, every day fighting for her life, and every night preparing to take that last breath. So imagine that. So yeah. Here's this woman going through all these horrendous medical treatments, and every day she woke up and she had the decision to make because she's staring death right in the face. And so she had to choose between fear or love. And every day she chose love. She never played victim. She never asked, why me? And so that's why this book is so powerful. It's such an inspirational book because you get to meet this inspirational person that I was blessed to call my wife for 5 years. And I was blessed to literally watch her transcend suffering and then transcend death. And so that's why it's such a powerful, inspirational book.
One of the things, as I said in the beginning, is no matter what, you know, what sort of cancer, whatever it is, that it is, much although it's hard for the person who's got it, etc., the person who's with them, their partner, the people who support these people, it's hard in a totally different way. The feeling of just helplessness, as much as anything else, I would have thought would be a real big thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is bad for sure, okay? But in that moment, you know, for me anyways, you know, I got lost in the moment, and she was my number one priority.
Yep.
And getting through these things were number one. Now, were there times where the stress got to me and that, you know, I would explode and you know, I would not be able to handle it that properly, right? So any caretaker is going to, at some point, you know, have to blow a fuse because the stress,
yep.
Because you don't get to, you know, you're just there as the witness, right? And you're there as the advocate. And at some point, man, you it becomes overwhelming. There's no doubt. But here's where I really noticed it is, you know, and you would think she was terminal. And so I was prepared for her last breath. And you always think you always have one more day until you don't. And that's when it hit me. And when I realized the emptiness is because for the last 6 months of her life and for a large part of those 9 years, you know, I was there with her fighting this battle, but those last 6 months, that was a full-time job. And when she was gone, I had nothing to do. Nothing to do but cry and feel grief.
Yeah. And as you say, you know, you think, oh, one more day. And when that one more day doesn't happen, it's like, like your legs have been taken away from you. You know, you've been there standing, you've been there with the person, and suddenly it's a total empty void except for pain.
Yeah. And in this particular case, you know, and of course, you know, as a survivor, you have not only the grief, and the grief was so deep, but the guilt and the regret.
Yeah.
I should have done this. And when I gave her eulogy at her memorial service, I said, listen, you know, everybody in this room, if you have a significant other, you know, one of you is going to be left behind and one of you is going to stay here. And I'm the one left behind. One's going to go and one's left behind. And I'm the one left behind. And I pray that, you know, let me be honest with you. I could have loved her better. I could have looked in her eyes more often and deeper. I could have held her hand more often. I could have told her I loved her more often. And so I said, for you guys, you know, I hope, you know, you're going to have grief when you lose your significant other, but I hope it's not coupled with guilt and regret.
Right.
That makes it so much more painful. So, and then so many people were touched that they would reach out to me and say, thank you for saying that. I called my spouse on the way to the reception, or I held my husband's hand on the way to the reception. I mean, that message really resonated. So that's my message to everybody. You know, you never know, you know, when that last day is going to be with your loved one. And so love them.
Yeah, indeed. The title of the book, Living in Color, is that something comes from something Margot said or did?
Yeah. So here was the thing with Margot, and this is what I miss the most about her. You know, she just loved life, and she was at one point in her life she made a decision, and to make everybody else happy, but not her. And so she called that living in black and white because she wasn't honoring herself and she was with someone that didn't make her sing and live in color, right? And so that was what she taught me. And that's what I miss about. She was so vivacious. She would walk. She's the kind of person that walks in a room and the whole room lights up, right?
Right.
Going to the supermarket with her was an exciting adventure, you know? And that's what I miss the most. Now, in spirit, she's still in my heart. I mean, she's still here. Okay?
Exactly. But she'll always be in your heart.
Yeah. no doubt. But I do miss that physical exuberance that she had for doing everything in life. You know, I miss that.
Right. And I can totally relate to what you're saying, because, you know, I met my now wife late. We've been together 11 years, and, you know, she had a stroke, three small strokes. A couple of weeks ago. And I suddenly thought, you know, what will I do if anything happens to her? You know, I know myself, I've prepared my, what I want for my funeral. I've recorded some stuff for my funeral service. I'm prepared because, you know, I don't want it to be sad. It's just it's me, you know, and stuff like that. But I thought, I know what she wants for her service. I know what she wants for this, but if anything happens to her, what would I do? You know, I just don't know. I mean, like yourself, you know, every morning you think it's the last and she's there in the morning. Suddenly she's not.
Yeah.
And it's just the sheer just feeling lost, I guess, as much as anything.
Yeah. I tell you exactly what you're going to do. You're going to cry.
Yeah.
You're going to feel lost. You're going to hurt. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through grief. And then hopefully you're going to come out. I always tell people, you know, two things are going to happen. One, your life is never going to be the same. Going to a movie will never be the same. Going to dinner will never be the same. But that's the bad news. The good news is you will never be the same if you go through that process and take it on. If you don't run from it, you don't hide from it, you don't self-medicate. And if you go through that process and that hole in your heart, if you go through it properly, instead of filling up with bitterness, it'll fill up with love. And then you will become a better version of yourself. And all of that pain and suffering will be worth it.
Indeed. And that's why I linked to last night's show, because we actually started off last night's show with Paul McCartney saying about all you need is love. Love is the thing like that. But yourself, obviously your aim is to help others, you know, focus on things, but didn't you start something like the Love from Margot Foundation?
Yeah, so I was so devastated that, you know, I wrote a book in 2014 called Love Unfiltered, and in that book I say, you know, for the first time in my life, I was defenseless. I mean, I was so suffering so deeply, I had no defenses. And it was this, my creator, my God, could go into my heart, so lay it open, and take out all the arrogance, the self-centeredness, the BS, and replace it with love. So there I was with this big, broken, open heart full of love and looking to serve others. And a friend of mine calls me up and he says, Mike, my sister-in-law, Amanda, she's moving down from Wyoming to, she's stage 4 breast cancer, 38, the same age as Margo just passed. Would you introduce her to Margo's oncologist? And I said, sure. So I take Amanda to the oncologist. He orders some tests. We go back 2 weeks later. And when I was going with Amanda, going through all these tests, I noticed that she was treated differently than Margo. You know, she's a minority. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have good insurance. She didn't have resources. She didn't have money. And I felt like they talked down to her or over her head, and it just felt uncomfortable to me. And I didn't say anything. But I get back to our oncologist, and he says, Amanda, the best protocol to extend your life are these three chemotherapies simultaneously. Unfortunately, your insurance will only pay for one. That's all I can give you. And I was blown away, I have to tell you, Barry. And I just said to the doctor, I said, here's my credit card. Give her whatever she needs. Yep. And so that was the seed, what later became the Love for Margo Foundation. And for 4 or 5 years, I worked with women below the poverty line, providing them with financial grants so they could pay their rent, so they could get transportation, so they could buy their medicine, so they could get by without becoming homeless and starving to death. I mean, that's how dire their situation is, right?
Right.
And then after 4 or 5 years of that, the pattern was the same. Cut off one or two breasts, put a hole in the chest filled with chemo, radiate. And in most cases, they got sicker and sicker and died. And so the theory was I was going to support them while they went through treatment. They got back on their feet. They go back to their job. Everything's good. Well, it was a bad, bad theory, and it didn't work. So then I started buying water filters and juicing machines and vegetables. And now, you know, I'm trying to make a difference, teach them how to heal themselves. But now they think I'm their doctor and I'm a car salesman. So that was
impossible.
So now I'm building a healing retreat center in Medellin, Colombia.
Colombia. Okay.
And
yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's where I am right now. So you're now an international radio star.
Oh no, we're international. Don't worry about that. We've been all around the world. But yeah, okay. So that's where you are now, is it? Okay.
Yeah, Medellin, Colombia. So it's a place it's called. If you want to check it out, you can go to the website mountainsofhope.com, and we're building a 22-day transformational health retreat, and it's a for-profit business. So people will come, they'll pay us, and then we take some of that profit, and we will bring women from the Love for Margo Foundation that have no money, no resources, recently diagnosed with cancer. We'll put them in this amazing healing environment, 7,000 feet in the Andes Mountains at the equator. The power here is so amazing. But more importantly, we're going to give them the tools and the education and the detox, of medically supervised detox, to detox their body, give them the right minerals and vitamins, and then also teach them about how the mind works and the emotions and all that, and treat them integratively so that they can heal themselves.
Right, indeed. excuse me. I meant to say your Love Unfiltered, your previous book, that was a Wall Street Journal bestseller, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I started writing Living in Color in July of 2011, right after Margo died. And then I hit pause. I wanted to publish Love Unfiltered because I have a unique manifestation process that someone taught me in 1982 when my life was a mess. And so therefore, I wanted to share that with people. And then it didn't resonate, so I wrote another book in 2018 called The Creation Frequency. And that's what I'd like to give the online course to your listeners. But that is a process of manifestation that no one teaches. It's the secret behind the secret, if you will.
Right.
It's very, very powerful. And everybody uses the law of attraction. They just don't realize it. And so what I try to teach people is to do it with an intention and get what you truly desire and manifest that into your life rather than stuff that doesn't serve you.
Right. Indeed. This new book, Living in Color, A Love Story in Sickness and in Health. One of the things that I've been reading about that people say, you know, apart from obviously the warmth and the, you know, the fact you go into detail without sugarcoating it, is the honesty. Is this the thing that, I mean, obviously you see these other books out there and, they sort of, It doesn't seem real, if you know what I mean. But in your case, I think that's something you set out to share with people is, you know, the good, the bad, as it says, you know, the love in sickness and in health, everything. Is that something you set out to do?
Yeah. You know, it's just who I am. I cannot not be authentic. I cannot not be transparent. And so this book is real life. This book is messy. It has infidelity. It has a wild teenage daughter with drugs and alcohol. It has abortion. It's real life.
Yep.
But it is so inspiring because the main character, Margot, is so inspiring, and her courage and her ability to love was profound, and that's what I want to read. And the beauty of it is, you know, after she passed, I found journals from age 12 to the time of her death. So I have all this rich material. And then while she was fighting for her life, we created a website and a blog called Send Margo Love, and people literally were praying for her all over the world. So she wrote a lot of rich material there, and that's all throughout the book. And you get to see someone that's literally gonna die any day, fighting for her life, and you get to hear from her voice what she's going through, and I promise you, you will be inspired.
And obviously, hence the title, A Story of Love in Sickness and in Health, which goes through everything like that. And the fact that she was, despite everything going on, that the strength she showed to go through it, and to the love as well, it's something that, you know, so many people have noticed in the book.
Yeah, and you know, and here's the deal today. You know, here's the world's a little crazy, you know. So people are waking up. People I know, good, solid, wealthy people, are having anxiety attacks. They're freaking out. They don't know why, because there's a collective, you know, we have our own individual consciousness, but there's the collective consciousness.
Yeah.
And things are spinning out of control. Therefore, people are spinning out of control. So I think it's important that this book comes out now, and if people read it, because listen, we're all waking up and we're staring fear in the face. But we have the ability to choose love and to rise above. And if we do that, we are going to become the best version of ourselves, and we're going to create the best life for not only us, but our family, our loved ones in the community, and the world as a whole.
Did you find that people not shunned you, but it was like people just were scared to sort of say stuff because they were worried they might say something wrong? You know, that, oh, you, I can't say that. She might take it the wrong way, or, oh, you know, he's suffering and stuff like that. Did you find people were sort of reluctant to sort of speak openly to you, you know, when you were going through all this?
When she was fighting the cancer, fighting for her life?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think we've all experienced that, right? That, you know, we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to offend people, you know. I think in our case, because of who she was and I'm somewhat similar, that we're very open and it's pretty hard to hurt our feelings. We understand where people are coming from, and we understand no matter what they were saying, they meant well. And so we wouldn't take offense at that. We understand that people aren't perfect, and people are going to do the best they can, and they're not always going to say the right thing, and
right.
That's just the way it is. So
yeah.
No, my answer would be no.
Okay, because I mean, I know I'm the same. My wife and I are the same as you. You know, we understand that. So, but other people, they get not tongue-tied, but they want to say something, but they're not sure if they should say it, sort of thing. And I think people should be. Myself, and sounds like you as well, if people were honest and open, you'd understand it.
Yeah.
And that's where people have got to do. And in your case, obviously with the life and in death, it was that whole meaning of love, the compassion, forgiveness, compassion, all that sort of stuff, that has enabled to make you, I guess, a better person as well.
Well, there's no doubt about it, because when you go through a deep suffering and you choose love rather than becoming bitter, you are going to become a better version of yourself. There's no question. You know, the diamonds are made because so much pressure is exerted into the carbon, right? Mm-hmm. And so we are the same. And so that's how gold is made. So if we can sustain, and here's something very, very important. And this is one of my favorite movies. It's called Silver Linings Playbook, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in every tragedy, in every negative event that happens in their life, if we're willing and if we look, we usually can find a silver lining. Oh, now I see why that happened. You know, someone told me the most uttered word when people arrive in heaven is, oh. Oh, now I understand.
Right.
Oh, now I see why that happened, right? So that's the attitude I like to take is, let's look for the silver lining. Once I'm done crying 100 times a day for 100 days, now let's start looking for that silver lining.
Right, indeed. Okay, well, time's starting to beat us, and I know you want to sort of make give an offer to the audience.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now, Mike, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody know, where people can find out more about yourself and the books, etc., but also the offer you have for everybody.
Great. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for having me on, Barry. So here's the deal, folks. If you go to – you can go to lovefrommargo.org. Margo's with a T, M-A-R-G-O-T, lovefrommargo.org, and you can – there's a link to buy the book. There's the reviews. There's a bunch of interesting stuff about the book. But more importantly, and that's our foundation, and all the proceeds from the sale of the book go to that foundation to serve women below the poverty line while they battle cancer. And then there's a link to Amazon. So if you go to Amazon, you buy the book. It's $10 Kindle. It's $15 paperback. And if you do that and you email me proof of purchase at mike@lovefrommargo.org, proof of purchase of buying Living in Color on Amazon, mike@lovefrommargo.org. I will send you my online course. It takes about 6 hours to take. It cost me $100,000 to create it. We filmed it here in Medellin, Colombia, and it's the most powerful law of attraction manifestation thing you will ever do. It retails for $197. I will send it to you as a gift because I want you to get this process. So invest $10, read a powerful, inspiring book, and or buy the paperback, and it makes a great Christmas gift. And then just send me proof of purchase, and I'd love to send you my online course, $197 value for free.
Wow, that's a great offer. Thank you, Mike. Terrific. Well, Mike, Mike, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show. Good luck with the book, good luck with the foundations, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me, Barry. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. My guest today, Mike Murphy, and talking about his new book, which is from the Love for Margot Foundation, and the book is called Living in Colour, A Story of Love in Sickness and in Health. Terrific book, Mike was telling us all the sort of stuff and everything that him and his late wife went through, how she, you know, fought and carried on and sharing and the love that there was, etc. So terrific book there. Look out for it. Mike Murphy, Living in Colour, A Story of Love in Sickness and in Health. Well, that's the end of another show for this week. I will be back on Sunday. Yes, Sunday. Between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern with Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme, of course, this week has to be Halloween. So I'm sure you'll think of lots of music we'll have for Halloween for that. And that's followed at 6 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Eastern by the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s, not just the British Invasion, but music from around the world from the 60s. So join me here. 5 to 7 basically on Sunday, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday I'll be back with two more guests here on A Book and a Chat. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget,